We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. We read in the scriptures where Jesus himself said that he came to seek and to save the lost. I'm so thankful that he found me, and I know that he is willing to save anyone who will come to him and ask for forgiveness. We have in Jesus Christ a precious Savior. In fact, he is the only Savior that this world has, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we may be saved. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless our precious congregation today. We are thankful for each one who is tuned our way. We know that you know them, we know that you love them, we know that you care for them, and we're praying that you'll minister to our precious congregation today. We trust that you'll be able to use us and use this broadcast to make it a blessing to precious souls. We live in a world where there's so much confusion and strife on every hand, but we know that your way is the way of peace. And we want to point souls to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So bless this broadcast to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the charms of this world, that you'll pay some. such a price from the Lord to depart, just to mix with the crowd and to revel in sin, while your best friend, the Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? Do you know what it means for your soul to be lost? And forever and ever shut out.
Very serious question. Have you counted the cost? We read in the scriptures where Jesus Christ taught us that we should sit down and count the cost. And this song is charging us, challenging us to sit down, as it were, and count the cost if our soul should be lost, our own one eternity bound soul, worth more than all of the world. And Jesus came, suffered, bled, and died, and made it possible for every one of us to be saved, that our soul not be lost. On today's broadcast, I want to speak from the verse of Scripture that we read in Proverbs chapter 14 and 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This needs to be heralded from one end of the world to the other. Even among the religious people, they need to be made to realize and to know that sin is a reproach to any people, that it is righteousness that exalts a nation. While reading an article in the AFA Journal of June 2007, I was made to realize anew how many people are confused and do not seem to know what is right and what is wrong, simply because they have never known, or, having known, rejected the Word of God. God has given us His Word as a guide, a moral guide for our feet, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our pathway. The article that I wish to refer to quotes at length from a report issued by the Barna Group, a group that focuses on cultural trends in the United States, especially those related to religion. The study involved two groups, those over 40 and those in their 20s and 30s. The 1960s and 70s are referred to by many as the age of the sexual revolution, so it might be surprising to find that the data found significant differences, as the older group seem much more prone to hold to traditional moral beliefs, while the younger set departed dramatically. Those of us who lived during the 60s and the 70s thought the morals of many was really low then. If so, what about today? Quoting from this article, compared to the over 40 crowd, there was far greater acceptance on the part of busters, and that's talking about the younger, the 20s and the 30s, toward cohabitation, sexual fantasies, sex outside of marriage, homosexual activity, and viewing of pornography. As might be expected, sexual behavior seems to follow sexual attitudes. Busters were twice as likely to have viewed sexually explicit movies or videos, 2.5 times more likely to report having had a sexual encounter outside marriage, and 3 times more likely to have viewed sexually graphic content on the Internet. Many in the United States consider themselves moral people, yet the type of movies and TV programs that show sex and violence seem to be the ones that draw some of the largest number of viewers. Why should that be if most of our people are moral people? Why should it be that those type of TV programs and movies would draw the largest viewers? How could it be? If they don't draw viewers, they would not be aired, or the films would not be made. Notice this statement, and you will understand why I said in the beginning of this article or this message that so many of our people have rejected the Word of God. On the other hand, and I'm quoting again, on the other hand, Barna noted, the nation's residents have difficulty agreeing on what a moral life should look like, much less how to make ethical decisions or how to define moral standards, end of quote. Would they have that difficulty if they believed and accepted God's holy word? Does God's holy word not set forth what is moral and what is immoral? Does not God's word set forth a standard for the people? Again quoting, nearly half of all pre-busters, those over 40, said that they view moral truth as absolute. But only 3 out of 10 busters, and again they're referring to those that are in the 20s and 30s, only 3 out of 10 busters embrace the concept of absolute truth. It is no wonder that there is so much confusion in the religious world as well as the secular world today, whenever people do not even know what is absolute truth. In fact, some people would have you to believe there is no such thing as absolute truth. But Jesus Christ said, if you would be my disciples indeed, continue you in my word, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, there is such a thing as absolute truth. The writers of the article I am quoting from ask, once you take away God, what's left? Once you take away God, what's left? Now, only man is left to determine moral standards. It is no wonder, then, that nearly half of the busters say ethics and morals are based on what is right for the person. In other words, you set up your own standard. You determine yourself what is moral and what is immoral, and no one else has a right to tell you that you are wrong. It is no wonder, then, this article says, that nearly half of the busters say ethics and morals are based on what is right for the person. Now, compared with just one quarter of pre-busters, in other words, everyone is a law unto himself, and we really do not have anything to go by. Barna's report also stated, and again I quote, busters were twice as likely as their parents' generation to use profanity in public, to say mean things about others behind their back, to tell something to another person that was not true, to do something to get back at someone who hurt or offended them, to take something that didn't belong to them, and to physically fight or abuse someone. Now, did you notice what I just read? We're talking about people today, their opinions and their ideas as to what is moral and what is not moral. And I want to repeat what I just read. Busters were twice as likely as their parents' generation to use profanity in public, to say mean things about others behind their back, to tell something to another person that was not true, to do something to get back at someone who hurt or offended them, to take something that didn't belong to them, and to physically fight or abuse someone. If that's the end of the quote. I think one of the most surprising things brought out in this study by Barna, as reported in the AFA Journal, is that which pertains to supposed born-again Christians. The writer of the article said, and again I'm quoting, "Perhaps most shockingly, Barna's research also seems to reveal a scandalous moral weakness even among busters who are born-again Christians." Note the statement. Young believers were actually more likely than non-believers to try to get back at someone and to have stolen something. Moreover, on 8 of the 16 behaviors surveyed, the profile of born-again busters were virtually identical to that of non-born-again busters. Let me interrupt my quoting from this article now and ask this question. What is these people's conception of what it means to be born again? What is their conception? What does it mean to be born again? Is it just a name that someone takes, or just words that someone uses? Paul said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Whenever you become a born-again Christian, and in fact, that's the only kind of Christian there is. I know there are multitudes of people in the world today who say they are Christians, but they don't claim to be born again. But the only born-again people in the world are Christians, and the only true Christians in the world are those who are truly born again. But to be born again means you have been resurrected from the dead state of sin to life in Christ. And you are to walk in newness of life. Yes, the old things, the old habits, the old sinful things have passed away. The prophet said that God would take out the stony heart, and he would give us a heart of flesh, and he would renew a right spirit within us, and he would cause us to walk in his ways. So notice this again. Young believers were actually more likely than non-believers to try to get back at someone, to have stolen something. Moreover, on 8 of the 12, or 16 rather, behaviors surveyed, the profile of born-again busters were virtually identical to that of non-born-again busters. Continuing the quote, for born-again Christians over the age of 40, a third, 33%, viewed cohabitation as morally acceptable. Now, that's talking about those that are over 40 and those that are supposed to have morals that are twice as good as those of the 20s and the 30s. For born-again Christians over the age of 40, a third, 33%, viewed cohabitation as morally accepted. However, 59% of born-again busters approved of cohabitation. That's the end of the quote. Remember, nearly half of all pre-busters, those over 40, said they viewed moral truths as absolute. Well, why doesn't their moral absolutes cover the sin of cohabitation then? Now, this part of the report says that 33% of born-again Christians over 40 viewed cohabitation as morally accepted. What are they basing that on? Certainly not the Word of God. What moral guide or line are they going by? What is some people's understanding of what it means to be a born-again Christian? And of course, there is only one kind of Christian, I say, and that is the born-again Christian. If you are a Christian, you have been born again. There are no such persons as a non-born-again Christian. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3 and 5. The Apostle Paul again said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are to become new. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 that whenever we have been quickened, whenever we have been resurrected, when we've been saved from our sins, then we are to walk in newness of life. Paul also wrote to the Corinthian church, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Notice, Paul did not say that fornication or cohabitation outside of marriage was all right. Paul said it was sin. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19, 20, and 21, Paul informs us that adultery and fornication are works of the flesh. And Paul goes on in that passage of Scripture, and he said, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thus declares God's infallible, inspired word. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said of them by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 27 and 28. How many people watching those X-rated films or looking at the porn magazines have committed adultery in their hearts by looking at those pictures and sinning? How many have committed adultery in their heart with their fantasies? Yes, a lot of people have fantasies, and they commit adultery in their heart by those fantasies. Again, Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. Who can find a virtuous woman? We read in Proverbs, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Proverbs 31,
verses 10, 11, and 12. And also in verse 30, husbands, and verse 30. And we read in Ephesians 5 and 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Will a husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church, will he be untrue to her? Will a wife who truly loves her husband be untrue to her husband? Beloved, let us get back to the blessed old Bible. Take the word of God, live it out in our lives. For righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit convey the truth to hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that you'll take to heart the message that we have endeavored to bring to you, for we have spoken out of the Word of God. We have brought to you Holy Scriptures that will abide forever. If our broadcast is a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know. And we invite you to write us, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, where you can listen to a number of our broadcasts and read our monthly magazine, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.
Whosoever heareth, shout the sound, spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will, may come. Whosoever will, send the proclamation of the
proclamation of